put that song in those, that framework of Mary coming to the garden that morning. What an amazing thing, that joy and delight. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning. I want to do two things this morning, all right? Go to two passages. So start in Matthew 28. Get your finger there, but then we're going to flip over to Acts chapter 3. So Matthew 28 is where we're going to be parked for the morning. But then I want us to, by way of introduction, go to Acts chapter 3. Matthew 28, Acts 3. I must say that if I hadn't just recently preached from Acts chapter 3, I would be very tempted to stop and preach Peter's message again from Acts 3, but I don't know how many weeks ago, it was several weeks ago we preached through this, so I won't do that again for you, although I would love to hear it just myself, because there's so much good here in Peter's message before the people after he'd healed the man, the lame man. Down in verse number 14, well, maybe we should start, let's start at verse 12, right? Acts chapter 3, verse 12. So he healed the lame man, and he's leaping and walking, praising God. They've completed the evening sacrifice. They're walking out of the temple area. They're by Solomon's porch. The crowd is amazed that this man that they know who was lame, lame from birth, is now walking. It says in verse 12, "And when Peter saw it, he answered and said unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this?" I don't think that that's an insincere question on Peter's mind. I think he's honestly saying, why does this surprise you? We would say to see a lame man walk, that's pretty surprising. Okay, I could empathize with the nation of Israel at this moment, the children of Israel. That lame man just walked. Now, but we remember the story. All right, Jesus has just risen from the dead, the Savior, the Messiah, who through numerous miracles has demonstrated that He's God, very God. And now that His work, Jesus' work, continues through His followers, for Peter it's just like, well, come on, don't you know any better? And they didn't know any better. And so once again, Peter is going to try to help the children of Israel, those that were there at the temple worshiping at the evening sacrifice that day, to understand that Jesus is truly their Messiah, and He demonstrated by rising from the dead. And because He rose from the dead, it is the duty and responsibility of all those who follow Him to declare, to be the witness of His resurrection. So that's, I gave you the clue of what Peter's going to talk about in just a second here, right? So, verse 13. I guess we stopped in the middle of 12. Let's pick up in the middle of 12. "Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk?" Of course it wasn't us, Peter says. "The God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers." Now they understood that phraseology and speaking about God, their God. "He hath glorified His Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied Him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let Him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, desired a murderer to be granted unto you." Barabbas was his name. And it goes on, "And ye," all right, that would be the right subject there of that verb, "and ye killed," talking to the Israelites, "ye killed the Prince of Life." Wait a second. Killed the Prince of Life? Is that even possible? I wonder if that struck in their heads for just a moment. Wait a second. Killed the Prince of Life. Killed the Prince of Life. How could that be? Well, it couldn't be. And so he goes on, "Ye killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are His witnesses. And His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And then he goes on to tell them, verse 19, "Repent, ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." He calls them to repentance again as a result of the resurrection. So Peter, in his own mind, takes the time to directly connect before the children of Israel that Christ, the Prince of Life, could not be held by the grave. He is the Prince of Life. God raised Him from the dead, And it is our duty and responsibility, Peter says, as his followers, his disciples, to be witnesses of you, to you of that fact. Now, with that in mind, Peter, following the command that God had given him, let's go back to Matthew 28. As Christ was risen from the dead, and if you want to just look real quickly in verse number 10, there's a number of things that are happening in Matthew 28, and as you recall from several years ago, we were walking through the book of Matthew and preached through this section. But down in verse 10, what did Jesus do? What was the first words that we have recorded in Matthew? It's not necessarily his first words after his resurrection, but the first words that Jesus says in Matthew. It's important. Then said Jesus unto them, verse 10, be not afraid. So Mary hears her name called by Jesus, as Dave so pointed out here just earlier. Mary, Master, Rabboni. It's you. It's you in the flesh. And he tells them, verse 10 here, Matthew 28, be not afraid. It really is me. And I want you to go tell my brethren. Now, was he talking about his family? It becomes very apparent as we read through the rest of the verses. He's not talking just about his family. In fact, he may not have been speaking of his physical family at all at this moment. The word brethren is a reference to his followers. They are his brothers and sisters. Christ, in fact, back in chapter 23, verse 8 of Matthew, had said, don't call me rabbi, ye are all brethren. In chapter 12, he had exhorted them, whosoever does the Father's will is Christ's brother and mother. He was speaking of his disciples. So go tell my disciples, my followers, my brothers. Aren't you glad if you know the Lord Jesus Christ today that you're Christ's brother or sister? I am not indirectly related. I am fully related to Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection and my redemption. Praise God. I'm a part of God's family. Did I deserve it? No, I don't. I got adopted in. I was a filthy, rotten, wicked sinner in rebellion against God, very God, and he brought me in. All I had to do, as Peter preached, was repent of my sin and trust Christ alone as my Savior. That was it. And he said, I've paid your price. You come. What joy. Brethren, go tell my brethren that I go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. What words of comfort. They were going to see their very Savior and Lord. So then we come to some more words of Jesus, and that's in verse 18. And Brother Eric this morning already read through this passage. Words that Jesus wants us to remember. Matthew, as he concludes his gospel, and in fact, Mark concludes it this way as well. Luke includes it with something a little different, but some of the same thoughts and ideas. Don't forget, as a result of the resurrection of Christ, what should you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, do? Jesus came, verse 18, spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. He wants us to review his coronation. If you're taking notes, that's point number one, okay? Just so you know where we're at, all right? As he comes to his disciples, they're gathered together in Galilee. This appears to be moments maybe before his even ascension. There seems to be some coordination with the book of Acts, some of the same words, and this is some of his final words to them, what we call today the Great Commission. But he starts with a reminding them of his great coronation. He now, as a result of his resurrection, has all power in heaven and in earth. You see, the sphere of Christ's authority at this moment in the recording of the history is now both heaven and earth. He had been in authority in heaven. He took on the form of a man and became like one of us, willingly giving up that authority so that he could redeem us. And now, as a result of conquering death, the Prince of Life is given again. All power is given unto me. God the Father has given Jesus Christ all authority. In light of that authority, Paul reminds us that he is now the mediator between God and man. There's no other possibility, no other way for us to be redeemed accept that someone became us, but not like us, so that we could be redeemed. He was God and man fully, wholly, completely. Something unique. Only that person could give his life and pay the price of all of our sins. Pastor Allen's a really nice guy, isn't he? Okay. We like you. Okay. Now, if I stood before God guilty, Pastor Allen says, you know what? I'll pay the price for Pastor Anderson. I'll die for him. And let's say, this is just very figurative, that God would say, okay, you go to hell for Pastor Anderson, and Pastor Anderson will go to heaven. What about the rest of you? You see, only someone who was both God and man, someone who's both infinite, but took on mortal flesh, could pay the price for all of us. That one sacrifice was an eternal, forever sacrifice. There will never be a sinner that will stand before the throne of God one day and say, Jesus, your blood ran out before I asked for forgiveness. Never will happen. His sacrifice is eternal. All power has been given unto Jesus Christ. He is ready to redeem every soul who with repentance and faith will come to Him. Praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, speaking of Christ, and given Him a name which is above every name. All authority is given unto Me. His name bears the authority that He is the Savior. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I will only park here for a moment, but let me tell you, sinner or saint, every one of us must bow to the Lord. Can I encourage you today to bow to His authority now? He is all power in heaven and earth. He is an authority. Though you say, well, it doesn't look like He's an authority right now. Wait. He's waiting patiently, giving every man opportunity to come to Him. Bow now. Don't bow in eternity. Once you die, your opportunity for salvation is done. It's appointed unto man, the writer of Hebrews says, once to die, after this, the judgment. The moment of death is my last moment to make a decision about Jesus Christ. If I choose to reject Christ in this life, He will reject me for eternity. Oh, believer, let us be faithful to tell the unbeliever that terrible, significant truth. This is the opportunity. Now is the day of salvation. Don't neglect now. Don't bow to Christ only in eternity, because that will be a bow of judgment, an eternal judgment. Ephesians chapter 1. Would you turn with me there? Keep your fingers here in Matthew chapter 28. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, down to verse number 19, just another synopsis of this great authority that Jesus Christ has and His mediatorial work for us. Ephesians 1, 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? Because He rose from the dead, because He is eternal God, this power offered for redemption and eternal life is given to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, verse 20, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead. That power was the power that raised Christ from the dead. And it's that power that will give us eternal life. And set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Remember Matthew 28. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all. Don't forget Jesus Christ has been crowned king, and though his eternal kingdom is not fully functional yet, for us in the church that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, he ought to be daily and every moment our king, as Paul so pointedly points out. He is the head of our church. You know, we talk in our new members class when we walk through the polity issues and why Baptists hold certain doctrines and so forth from the Word of God. Who is the head of Heritage Baptist Church? And if they say me, I say you're wrong. I'm just the under-shepherd. I'm just the pastor. Jesus Christ is the head of Heritage Baptist Church. Now, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is he not? Believer, if that's the case then, when we come now back to Matthew chapter 28, we should not have any doubt or wonder what we should do. Like Peter explained to the children of Israel. Wait a second, I've been commissioned to bear witness. So as you come back to Matthew 28, we've reviewed his coronation in verse 18, but now in verse 19, let us rejoice in the commission that this great king has given to everyone that knows the Lord. Verse 19. Go ye therefore, as a result of my kingliness, Jesus says. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. We have been commissioned to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ is the sovereign, mediatorial king. And if he is that, then I have been called as his follower to make other followers. As a disciple, I make disciples. I know that often when I preach, I talk to us that know the Lord Jesus Christ and we call each other believers. I do that on purpose. It reminds us each that we live by faith, right? We believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We believe that he is our Lord. But the word disciple is so wrapped up in that word belief that you can use them interchangeably. A disciple is a follower, one who believes the Word of God, and therefore if he believes it, he's going to follow it. I hope I didn't make you turn nervous today when I stood up on that step stool in the middle of the aisle. We were trying to make it so you wouldn't worry about me, that you would pay attention to what was going on up here. The rating says that it would hold up to 250 pounds. So I was good, all right? I liked it. It was sturdy. In fact, it was so sturdy when I brought it home the other day, my two little kids thought I just brought a jungle gym into the dining room. They were literally climbing all over it. Just for some of you to know, Drew, it turned immediately into a tractor. He was driving the tractor. He's up on. Anyway, sorry. It just happened to be that way. Okay. I believed that it would hold me up. I didn't even take a second thought today to act on that belief. I stood on there. Stood there the whole time to direct. They needed to be able to see me. I needed to see them. All right, you understand that. So, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to follow him, that means I will believe even his command to me that it is good and right and just. I'm going to follow his command. I'm going to be his disciple. So, I'm going to go, therefore, and make disciples. The word disciple in these verses, in verse 19 and 20, is actually the one word of verb, if I can put the action word. All the other ones are describing it. Go make disciples is what Jesus is saying. And you do it by baptizing, by teaching them to observe all things. The baptism is a wonderful demonstration that a conversion has taken place in the heart. It's only a picture. Again, it's not salvation. It's just a picture. Believer, are you rejoicing in your commission today? We have, as we've been walking through the book of Acts, on purpose, as we prepare and plan as a church family to plant Crystal Lake Baptist Church, Lord willing, this year yet. We've been running over and over again of this simple, straightforward commission. We are to be sharing the gospel. We are to be helping those who come to trust Christ to become and to walk in the steps of Christ, to become disciples. Is that something that you chafe at, to go make disciples, or is it something you rejoice in? You see, Christ here gave this commission in direct connection to what we celebrate today. I am supposed to obey Him because He rose from the dead. Why would I not want the world to know of a living Savior? No other one can save their souls. Mary can't. She rejoices in her Savior today. Buddha can't. I fear he doesn't know his Savior today. Muhammad can't. He lived a life of sin against God. Only Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Why should I not proclaim to the world of my dear Savior? Believer, rejoice in your commission today. Let it be what burns your heart and mind on a daily basis. You say, but Pastor, I have so many things to do. This world seems to have so many things to do. What's so amazing about our culture? You go up, hey, how you doing? Busy. What's been going on? Oh, I've been really busy today. I mean, I say it too. And too often we get focused on our to-do list, on the things that we have to get done, and that becomes our heartbeat instead of the commission to proclaim our resurrected Savior. Oh, believer, today, let us determine from this day forward, Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. I must tell the world. We walk through the book of Acts, and it's astounding. They were facing persecution. They knew it was coming. They knew the Jews hated their Savior, and Jesus told them, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. Don't be surprised by that. And what did they do? They went and hid. No, they didn't. They asked for boldness, and then they went out. It's so hard in our flesh. But wait a second. We're not done with the message today. There is hope for you, believer. Verse number 20. End of the verse, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We've reviewed His coronation, reminded ourselves that because of His resurrection, He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I trust that you want to, at least, rejoice in your commission. Rejoice so much that you'll get involved and do it. But let us rest in our wonderful companion. How can I go against everything inside me, at least who I am in my person, in my flesh, to go tell others about Jesus Christ, to act like the apostles, like their followers did in the book of Acts, who went with boldness, proclaimed even in the temple. Can you imagine the audacity? It's like they didn't even think about setting up their own place of worship yet. They went right to the Jewish place of worship. Oh, the audacity to heal that lame man. And then to stand right there as everyone's coming out from the evening sacrifice and say, it wasn't us, it was Jesus Christ, whom you killed, and God raised from the dead. You say, did they really do that? Well, yeah, the scriptures record it. When was the last time you gladly confronted the world with the truth of the gospel? You say, I can't, neither can I. And so Jesus promised, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I like that word always there. I believe, as I recall, that I reminded you of this when we preached several years ago through the book of Matthew, but can I remind you again, because I'd forgotten too, all right? The word always talks about the whole of every day. Can I put it this way? There is no part of the day from which He dismisses Himself. He's always with you. It's not like, okay, you know, I'm going to be out in the world today, or I'm at my job, or I go into the store, or I'm at the barbershop, beauty salon for you ladies or whatever, right? I'm talking over the fence to my neighbor. Oh, I wonder if Jesus will be with me right now. Or I wonder if he dismissed himself. He's just back in the house someplace. And Jesus has promised, no, I am with you always. Take courage, believer. Trust your companion, my believer. And go do your commission. You're serving a great king. The resurrection demands of each of you and I that know the Lord as our Savior to tell others about Him. Well, I might get in trouble with the law. Who's king? Who's king? Well, my neighbor may not like me anymore. Who's your companion? Your neighbor? Do you realize that we have no excuse? And we have all the right tools. God has given everything for us. May today, this Easter Sunday, be a day to renew our heart, to declaring to the world that our Savior is risen, to helping our brothers and sisters in Christ to take another step to become more like Christ and following Him. Make disciples. Make disciples. The resurrection encourages my heart today. We're made of pretty fallible stuff, aren't we? But our Savior is not. He's given us a home in heaven. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, turned from your sin, you're His disciple. Keep growing, disciple. He's never dismissed from your life. He never leaves you. He's always with you. And He ties that directly to your commission. I'll always be with you. Can I challenge you to challenge yourself to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to trust you today. I was at the tire store on yesterday morning. I didn't like that, yesterday morning. The weather was so nasty, we weren't out door-to-door calling. And there was a rebate form waiting for me at the tire store so I could get a little money back from buying tires for my car. And Margo was her name, Margo. She comes in, she's all cheery and says, Dave, here you are. I mean, she'd called me it was a week and a half ago. Your rebate's here. Oh, yeah, okay. I totally forgot. And she was being gracious. She called me back yesterday morning. Okay, run in. And I can't even remember the whole conversation. I do remember there was an opportunity for me to say something about my Lord. And my knee-jerk reaction was to... And then I remembered, wait a second, that's not the right response. The Lord is with me. And I can tell you, it wasn't Dave Anderson just thanking the Lord before Margo for His goodness to me. She said, take your wife out. That's what she said. She said, take your wife out to dinner with that rebate. And I said, no, I'm just going to thank the Lord that I got some money back. Sorry, honey. She gets taken out to dinner, don't worry, okay? It was just a couple of words. But I walk away. They know who I am. It was not just that I'm a pastor. I hope they know me as a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. And I wanted to tell her just for a moment, she had another person there, just for a moment, I've got a wonderful Lord. Believer, will you do that this week? Maybe you need to pick up a track again out of the track rack. Those are great, great tools. Had the guy come by the church to check all of the fire hydrants, fire extinguishers. Yeah, my first reaction was to walk away after we were all done. And I kicked myself in the seat of the pants. Have you ever seen me do that? Anyways, I won't do it for you now. Come on, Anderson. Pull the track out, hand it to him. Hey, we're having Easter services this Sunday. Well, I'm on the south side of Rockford. This is just a reminder anyway. Come. Believer, let us tell the world about a risen Savior. We've rejoiced in the day in song. My heart was moved. Just rejoicing, He is risen. Well then, let's serve Him well. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice that you raised your son from the dead. It's very interesting how Scripture handles that. At times it says God raised him, and other times he raised himself. Well, he was God. God was doing a great work in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you that you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, if there's one here today that has not bowed the knee to Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord in this life, may they do it today. May it not be in eternity when there is no hope for heaven. Draw them to thyself, and may we be used of you today to help some soul come to trust Jesus Christ, who has paid the price for all of their sin. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, may we be faithful in our commission that you've given us as a result of the resurrection. Thank you for the example of Peter, who unashamedly, even in a somewhat hostile situation, and as we read through the rest of the book of Acts, we know that he faced plenty of persecution. And yet he willfully chose to obey the commission that you had given him, trusting and relying upon your companionship. You were walking with him. You were helping him. May we as believers today proclaim wherever we go about the one, only, true God who is risen from the dead. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let me start with believers today. Believer, maybe your heart's been renewed and challenged again, and you'd say, Pastor, pray. I want to be faithful in doing my commission. I know that Christ is risen from the dead, and I don't want to be ashamed of him. Would you pray that God would help me to remember that he's my companion, and that I'd be found faithful in telling others about Jesus Christ and helping believers grow in Christ? Is that your need today? Can I pray for you? Quietly lift up your hand in the air and say, that's my need. Yes, Pastor. Yeah, amen. Many thanks. Yes. Rejoice in your Savior. Are you here today without Jesus Christ? His resurrection stands as the strongest declaration that the offer of salvation he gives you is true and real. He conquered death, and he will allow you to conquer death too. You do not have to spend eternity in judgment in hell. He will be your Savior even today. His sacrifice has paid for your sins already. You just must accept his sacrifice. Maybe today you'd say, Pastor, that's my need. I need to trust him as my Savior today. Turn from my sin and turn to Jesus Christ alone for my eternal life. Can I pray for you right now? Maybe you'd quietly slip your hand in there and say, that's my need today, Pastor. I need to be saved today. Anyone at all, can I pray for you right now? Father, we rejoice in who you are, in what you've done, that you are with us. Help us as believers to unashamedly tell others about Christ. May you even honor this week and allow one of us to see someone trust you as their Savior as a result of our testimony as we strive to obey you. We pray for any that would yet be here without Jesus Christ. Would you draw them to thyself? It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet quietly. Heads are bowed, our eyes are still closed. An opportunity for us to have a moment with the Lord privately. If you need to come and ask the Lord for assistance and help, I realize our auditorium is full today. Maybe today it might be that you just sit in your pew to spend some time in prayer, but you are welcome to come and use these front steps that are available, front pews that are available. Spend some time with the Lord, asking him for assistance and help with doing your commission. If you're here today without Christ, I'll step to the floor and my mic will get turned off. We'd be delighted to have you come and we would share the gospel with you. I'd have a lady with a lady, a man with a man. They would step out and in a few minutes just remind you of what things we've already talked about today, and you could trust Christ as your Savior today. You could have the risen Savior as your Savior. So as our pianist quietly plays through the invitation hymn and God is working your heart, why don't you come?